Welcome back to the Made to Homeschool podcast. My name is Brandon. My wife Brigitte and I are the founders of Made to Homeschool. This is the third part of a three-part conversation with our friend Ashley. Ashley's a former English teacher and current homeschooling mom to her three kids since 2013. Her mission is to help you grow in your homeschool according to your children's needs so that you can find joy in your family and honor Jesus. She loves to encourage homeschool moms and talk about Charlotte Mason style, affordable homeschooling resources, and biblically based curriculum on her YouTube channel, Joyful Noise Learning. Let's jump into it. Welcome back, everybody, to part three of my conversation with Ashley from Joyful Noise Learning. Ashley, you have described yourself, I have described myself, as easily distracted. Again, my notes are the only reason in both parts of our conversation so far I've been able to vaguely stay on track. How do you do all the homeschooling things when your brain's like that? Tell me things, Ashley.
All the things. Oh, goodness. Well, the first thing is acknowledging that you have a problem.
That is the first step. Yes. Okay.
That is the first step, is acknowledging you have a problem. And then the next step is just try to get better at it.
Good. We're done. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next. No.
Do better.
Do better. Don't be so bad at things, people.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm self-diagnosed ADHD as well. And I think I need to go get evaluated, but it's all right. We just go with it. But yeah, when I started homeschooling, and kind of back to my original story, like being in the classroom with eighth graders, being scattered and easily distracted was my bane of existence. No, just kidding. My downfall. And it was difficult. Because when I was managing myself, you know, not a huge deal. I can get distracted and whatever. I just get back on track. But when you're managing little people underneath you, there, that's another story. You have to stay more focused, and they're looking to you to know, what are we doing right now, and why is this good? So I'm trying to figure out which direction to take this, but I was trying to say earlier in the last part of the episode is to have a flexibility within a framework. Because if we have zero framework, if we just fly by the seat of our pants, just let the wind take us on a day or week, wherever we want to go, then nothing gets done. And it's that's just kind of my experience that I've had. I've had tried to be an unschooler at times even. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's people just don't necessarily follow a strict curriculum. They use the library a lot. You know, you go on a lot of field trips and things, but you can do that with some kind of framework and with curriculum as well and a plan. So I enjoy making plans, but I don't follow them to a T. So I had to have, because the other problem was, if I had a curriculum that had a grid, Brandon, do you know what the grid looks like? I wish I had an example.
A grid, like subjects and days, or?
Yes, yes. So if you have a grid and it has like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then along the side, it has your social studies, science.
We have one of those, or those people. Is that bad?
Okay, no. Okay. It's not bad. It's actually great when you're first starting out. Okay. But when I follow a grid and I miss a day, then the whole grid is off.
Yes, you failed. Yeah, 100%.
And there are curriculums out there, like you can make your own, which is great, but there are curriculum out there that have those and they hand them to you and you're just supposed to follow it. But like, we didn't always follow it to a T. If one subject got off, then it was all off. And then I didn't know how to get back on track. And I'm like, and then I feel like I was a terrible homeschool mom. And I couldn't do this. And I beat myself up. But then one day I realized, okay, I need a direction. We can't be scattered and not get anything done. So there needs to be a plan, but it doesn't need to be something that, it needs to flex with me and with my bunny trails. Because if we want to have a bunny trail day, I want to be able to get back on the train. I'm sorry, I'm using bunny trails and train tracks, but go with me here.
Bunny tracks and train
bunny trails, tracks, yeah. So if we have a bunny trail day, but we need to get back on the train, then we can. And it just, for me, it works where we just pick up where we left off. And that's been helping there. So that's the main thing there.
Was that a big struggle for you beginning to homeschool?
Yes.
The reason I ask is when you said two things that I was like, I feel that when you say it. The first was in the first part of our conversation, when you said something like, you love making schedules, you're really bad at sticking to them. I was like, yes, yes, same. And then just now, when you're talking about, I think, kind of this feeling of failure if you miss a piece. And it's like defeating, and you know the right answer is like, well, just get back on. It's hard, man. Did you go through some stumbles along the way and kind of some self-defeat, and how'd you get through that?
Yes. Yes. I don't know if it's like going along with like a perfectionist issue too, because you want it to be just right. You want to check all the boxes. And then when you don't, you feel like, I felt like a terrible homeschool mom. And that would really get me down, especially when the kids were little. I would be so down on myself, being like, I can't believe we didn't finish that lesson on Wednesday. So the rest of the week, I'd throw it all out and be like, oh, fine, we're just going to do ABC Mouse and watch Mr. Rogers, you know. And I didn't know, like you said, I didn't know how to get back on the train very quickly. I would get derailed very easily. And so I had to learn and grow that, because when you get off that train and you realize you get to the end of your school year set time and nothing is finished, your math is still only halfway done, then what happened? Like, yes, as homeschool moms, we can be organic and we don't have to follow a set schedule. We really don't, but things still do have to be done. You know what I mean? Like they need to have some kind of something to show for the work that they're doing. So for me, it was falling off the train and trying to get back on, having those struggles.
Okay. So your experience, Ashley, like you, again, using your two mixed analogies, rabbit trailing, trying to get back on the train. Is it a rabbit train? I don't know. Anyway, how did you find yourself being able to get back on the train in spite of those struggles with kind of that self-defeating experience?
So I really had to sit and look at my overall vision for homeschool. And I had to realize that being consistent is something that I struggle with, but it's something I needed to work on. And I knew that if I was consistent, it was going to benefit my kids and benefit us as a homeschool and not help us derail as much. So, and part of that came, it was like a big mix of a blend of being consistent, but also not being perfectionist about it. And that was difficult. It's like, it's not an all or nothing thing. So maybe there's all or nothing thinkers out there too. So I have my set schedule and I really pared down to what was simple and what needed to be done. Because for several years, I was trying to do all the things. I was like, let's do karate. Let's do this science curriculum. Let's do three history curriculums. Let's do two language arts curriculum. Because there was all these things out there that look so good, but it was not getting done well. And I had kind of a come to Jesus moment with myself, being like, Ashley, you can't do all the things, but what can you do and what can you be consistent with? And being consistent also took some discipline on my part. And I know with being an easily distracted, easily scattered homeschool mom, discipline is not our strong forte, but I had to learn for the sake of my kids, for my kids' sake, that I needed to work on that. And again, if I'm just managing myself, not a huge deal. I can let balls drop. But when I'm managing three little people and their education, it's on me. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect. I don't have to be a perfectionist about it. It's not all or nothing, but it needs to have some consistent flow to it. So I cut out a lot of the fluff. I've kept it simple, the things that we can do. And we do those things every day. And then I have my like loop scheduling, which is a lot of fun. That helps me a lot. Those are like the fun things that don't need to be done every day, but they need to get done like once or twice a week. And following that loop schedule has helped. But that's a whole nother topic I can share another time. But that is something that has definitely helped.
You just used a new word. I don't know, loop schedule. I'm going to have to dig into that, but I don't know if you have the time. Okay, wait.
I know.
Okay, there's so much though, Ashley. So before we even get near the end of this episode, I'm going to have to ask if I can get you back on at another date in the future. Cause like, there's so much to talk about if that's cool. Yay. Okay. You kind of found the key to getting back on the train from the rabbit trail, which doesn't have to do with trains, but it makes sense in our mixed analogy situation here. Was that before or after you decided you were going to be a YouTube channel as well?
It was in the midst of it.
Okay.
In the midst of it.
How did that happen? How did you go from I'm struggling and I feel like I'm failing at homeschool scheduling things because I can't get back on the train from the rabbit trail with the key to I'm going to start a YouTube channel? What's your why behind that? How are those related?
Well, the main thing I started the channel for was I was watching YouTube looking for curriculum reviews when I was a young homeschool mom. Mm-hmm. And all the reviews and the flip-throughs that I saw were terrible. I don't know. If you want to go back to YouTube back in like, when was it, 2013, 2014, and watch the reviews from them, the lighting was terrible. The people's personalities were that great. I'll just say it. the framing was terrible. Sorry, I'm a visual person who's been doing video for a long time. So I was like watching these ladies do this and I'm like, come on, we need some better curriculum reviews. So I started off as a curriculum review person. Sweet.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So it was like Right Start Math was like my first one. It's one of my biggest videos, but it's I thought it was a pretty good review, but I rambled so much, Brandon. Oh my gosh. I had to learn so much about how to get the point in and get out. Otherwise it's like, let's end that anyway. So speaking of rambling, I'm gonna bring it back. But I started off doing curriculum reviews and I was like, I want new moms to be able to find this curriculum that works well for their family. And then as I started doing this year after year, I started realizing, okay, I'm scattered and I'm struggling. Maybe there's other moms out there that can relate and can watch me on this journey as well. Because again, I don't have it all figured out. I try not to come from a point of view of having it done because I'm still learning. But I have learned some things that have helped and have helped me cope, you know, like even taking notes, Brandon, that's such a great tip. The taking notes idea is brilliant. I have to use my phone because it's always with me instead of a notepad. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. If I don't take notes in a conversation, and I feel like there's a lot of similarities there, I will go everywhere except for the right direction. And I feel that way with scheduling as well, like you were talking about. And so you start the YouTube channel. And your why behind that is, if I think I'm hearing, like, you wanted to help moms who were having the struggle you had, which is like, how do I actually learn about curriculum? People are doing this and it's not good. So I'm going to try to do it well. Bad audio, bad lighting, all the things. Your YouTube journey, when did it start?
Oh boy. Let's see. My youngest was two. Let me think of, it was like 2016, 2017 was when I started. I also wanted an outlet. It was more personal for me at the beginning because an extroverted stay-at-home mom, I don't have a lot of people to talk to. So I thought I'd grab a camera, talk to the camera, and then chat with people on the comments. So it was kind of a personal goal at the beginning for sure. And it still is today. I enjoy it. I like talking, as you can tell, on this podcast. And I like making videos. That was a hobby I had as a kid even too. Used to make music videos. Did you ever do that, Brandon?
I made videos. I never made music videos, but I so want to see your rendition of like the Spice Girls or whatever you were doing. Yes. I don't know. Was it?
I have a couple of Spice Girls. Oh, Stacey or Rico, if we want to do Christian. Don't look at me if you're looking for perfection. Do you remember her?
I don't know. So
you might be a little younger than me.
I know we're like the same age, but I was not in church world from the ages of 12 to 22.
Oh, okay.
So that might do it. Yeah.
You won't know those songs. Okay. I did do Beyonce, Survivor. That was a fun one. Anyway.
Yes. It was a fine hymn study right there. That's okay. But outside of the music videos with the Spice Girls and Beyonce and all the things, Ashley, I know that right now there are folks listening who are already homeschooling, but also folks who aren't. And they are learning things like I've been for so long hearing all of you guys talk about your homeschool days and all of this, but they might still be looking at it as this like humongously daunting thing, right? How can we do it? As I thought, like, there's no way we can do it and both work. Well, I was wrong. That's not true. But like, also just how do you know you can? And I'm sure that based on everything you shared with me so far, even before you started homeschooling, you had some doubts about your ability, whether because of the way your brain works or because just you're a human or because kids are difficult sometimes. I want to ask you to share what you would say to a mom who came up to you and said all those things. They're afraid. They don't know if they can. They have doubts. Are they able? And I would love to hear your response to that after we go to this quick break. We'll be right back. WorldWatch News is a daily, 10-minute show primarily designed for students. Viewers can discover what's happening in the world and understand major concepts in the news through an engaging and adaptable format. Whether you're discipling kids, teaching students in a classroom, or simply growing tired of reactionary media outlets, this program brings curious people of all ages together by facilitating deep discussions, safely and calmly covering challenging topics, and reminding us that, whatever the news, the purpose of the Lord will stand. You can actually access 3 free months right now of World Watch at worldwatch.news/made. Okay, Ashley, before that break, I was asking you kind of a deep question. What would you say to the homeschool mom out there right now who's listening to this and they want to, what can you say to them to convince them they can?
That's great. A great question, Brandon. And I just want to say that they can do it. The thing is, I know for me and my perspective, I had a background in education. I had a background in children's ministry and I love working with kids, but really that's the whole thing is to not think about what somebody else has and what someone else can do, but you need to think of yourself and what you can do and what God has given you and gifted you in. And that is what I think makes a great homeschool mom is she runs with her strengths or dad. I'll say that to you, Brandon.
Thanks,
he or she
it.
Runs with their strengths and works on and grows in and puts, you know, boundaries around their weaknesses. So like for myself, I know that my strength is finding the things that fit for my kids and being an eclectic chooser in our curriculum, making sure they're doing their things that they're strong in. That's one of my strengths, but one of my weaknesses was consistency. So I tried my best to work on that and have a good schedule or thing that I stick to and discipline that I've learned in. So for you, you can think about your own self. You know, I think that's a huge buzzword here in the world today, but it's true. You are gifted in different ways than I am. You're gifted in different ways than Brandon is, or, you know, even other friends like Wendy or Kristen or Katie, you know, all these people, they have these great strengths, but I don't want you to compare yourself to their strengths or my strengths. You need to compare yourself to yourself. And what are you good at? And go with that. Run with that. Are you a great curriculum researcher like Jen is? Do you like to try a lot of different things? Go for it. Don't feel guilty about trying a lot of different things. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. Or maybe you're more consistent and you want to do the same thing every day. And you like the bookwork, the workbooks that you don't have to decide what's happening that day. It's done all for you. That's great. There's things out there for you like that. So that's what I would say if you're struggling with knowing if you can do this or not.
You can. Yeah. One of the things that I was really drawn to about the homeschool world and that really encouraged me about you guys, this whole Made to Homeschool team, is like the individualization that everybody can implement in how they do it. I love that in general. I'm a big believer that, you know, we talk about everybody being unique and all this, but and yet we try to fit everything we do into boxes, whether it be in education or in work, everything. Right? People aren't made that way. Our God is big enough, sovereign enough, creative enough, amazing enough to make every single human being completely unique. And there's not a mold for all of us.
No, yeah.
And so I love that homeschool gives that opportunity. And I think that's goes to what you just said. Speaking of the uniqueness there, Ashley, I'm curious. I think that everybody on the team, and every parent in general, kind of has their own homeschool superpower, a thing they realize that makes their ability to educate their kids unique. What would be your one thing you get to pick as your homeschool superpower? What makes you know that you're great at this? I know I'm asking you to say something good about yourself. That's hard.
That's good. That's right. We talked about my weaknesses. Well, I think I'll take it back to the living books and the literature. I love reading and I love looking at characters and character arcs and stories that, you know, speak to life. And I think, you know, to honor my dad, he was a teacher as well and a pastor, and he really loved reading and watching movies. And I got that from him as well. So I'm trying to pass that on to my kids. So like when we do like a literature study, I don't need a literature guide. Like, and those to me feel like I'm being put in a box and like I'm trying to check off something, and it's not natural and organic and passionate. It's kind of just like, bleh, like, what did this character do yesterday? And why is this character this? And I'm like, no, let's not talk about that. So I feel like my superpower would be being able to do a read aloud, pick any book really, or at least one I'm passionate about. I guess the ones I'm not passionate about would be different. Anyway, the things that I'm passionate about, whether it's a history one or a literature book, and we read it, I can ask good questions and have good conversations with the kids. And we've had, that's been my favorite part of homeschooling, and that I will never forget that. And I hope they never forget it either. That's been so much fun. We do it with picture books too, you know, picture books or chapter books. We did the Narnia series last year with the Wing Feather series. I don't know. It's been a joy to read and talk about those things with the kids.
I love that answer. I don't know if you know this. My original intent coming out of high school was that I was going to be an AP English Lit teacher. Like, that's the thing I wanted to do the most. Oh. Like, my first major was English education when I went to UCF a long time ago. It's 20 years ago. But it's been a while. So I love that answer. And I've really enjoyed that with my kids as well. And my wife kind of like looks at me like, where'd you come up with that? I'm like, I don't know. I just read the thing. And I love the thing. It was so good. It gave me this idea. So I love that answer.
I have to ask you, Brandon.
Ma'am?
Do you do the voices when you read?
I do the voices when I...
Yes!
I, of course, me do too. Voices. We read... the one that was really hard, I think, I don't know if it was your recommendation. We talked about it at some point. Little Pilgrim's Progress.
Oh, yes.
So many voices to do.
Oh, yeah.
And we would go night to night, and then I'd forget which voice
I chose.
How
you did the voice.
Yes. And I'm like, and Benjamin would be like, Daddy, I thought he was Scottish. I'm like, oh, well, tonight he's Russian. This gentleman here is not. Like, I would, yes, like, have to make up so many voices to differentiate the characters.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. You do it as well?
Yeah, I do. And mine would be, I'm not going to do it here. I'm not feeling well in my voice, but Irish and British, I feel like, are my strongest.
Absolutely
accent.
Excellent.
When I do any other accent, the kids are like, what? Who is that? Like, that's a French, you know, Indian person? Or is that a, I don't know. They're like, just make it sound like a boy, mommy. Like, I'm trying to sound like a boy.
Well, this, listen, you're like, I am trying to differentiate these characters who paint a tapestry of literary beauty for you. Can you just let me cook, fam? Yes, absolutely. That's so good. So I love that answer because of the love of literature and because I think that is a superpower. So I didn't know you were going to say that. Super love the answer. I'm going to shift a little bit, kind of a hard turn. Ashley, I'm gonna take a risk here and ask you why you ended up on the M2H team. Why did you join Made to Homeschool when you did?
Why? That's a good question. Because I love everybody on the team.
Because it's good people. Okay.
And I have fear of missing out. So I'm just going to...
You joined because of FOMO?
I joined because of FOMO.
I mean, that's an honest answer. I appreciate it.
But once I'm here, okay. That was the, what do you call it? That was the catalyst, I guess. Okay. But yeah, I just love this team. I love the moms I get, or the homeschool moms and dads that I get to work with technically, and the people part of the membership too. I really enjoy getting to know them. Because the thing is, Brandon, I love it. I don't have too much to pour into it because I have a lot of ministries here in real life that I pour into, but it is a nice little outlet to get to know people from around the world and connect with homeschool moms and families. And yeah, so.
I've loved, you say you don't have a lot to pour into, but what you do, I love. Like your workshops, I think you bring.
I love the workshops. I could do a workshop every day if I had time.
Is that your favorite thing to do, is the workshops on M2H?
Yes. Yeah, I come alive with the workshops. I love seeing people live. I love doing the question and answer at the end. I love sharing what I've learned and helping others. Yeah, live speaking is, that's my favorite.
I agree. I think people get a lot out of it too.
Thanks.
Because you love it. It feels different. When you can tell the difference when somebody's really enjoying the thing they're doing. Okay, so aside from all of the many rabbit trails we're good at going down, Ashley, I think that people are going to get a lot out of this conversation, all three parts of this conversation. One last thing I'm going to ask you before we go. Ashley, what would you say is your biggest homeschool hot take or like unpopular opinion to the homeschool world?
Let's see. I do 4-day school weeks and sometimes I do 3-day school weeks.
How dare you inconsistently educate?
And yeah, I will say that because we have co-op. And I love co-op. You know, it pulls a lot of time away from us, but I used to do school after co-op, but after a few years of that, I'm like, nope, co-op is going to be our school for the day. and we're going to count it. We're not getting into our textbooks or workbooks that day or books. And they have time with friends. And to me, spending time with friends is just as important as, you know, getting in books. So we don't do school and co-op days.
So here's what's funny. We just moved to a new area. And so we're going to be looking for a co-op. And I was so excited because I'm like, I don't have to do school on co-op days because I never even considered that I would. So like, oh, I love that your unpopular opinion was
You're
my default.
Where you need to start. That's great.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for that, for your time, for all of your generous sharing of your experience and your wisdom gleaned therefrom. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on YouTube at Joyful Noise Learning. And there I like to talk about Charlotte Mason inspired homeschool, biblically based curriculum, and help for the easily and distracted, or the scattered and easily distracted homeschool.
Awesome. Ashley, thanks again. Guys, if you love this, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss when the next one comes out. And we'll see you then. Bye, Ashley.
Bye.